Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Pitchfork, light your torch, and get ready for inciting a riot. Conventional thinking has been warned, because we're going to gather, and we're going to march, and we're going to blow its f***ing house down.
Hello, rioters, and welcome to Inciting a Riot, the podcast. I would be your left-wing dirt-worshipping host, Firelight. Today, episode 104, we are inciting a fluffy riot. I know that on the last show, episode 103, an unforgiving riot, I mentioned at the very end that the next episode was going to be an interview with the authoress of Jailbreaking the Goddess. That is still coming. We've just had a couple of scheduling conflicts that have kept us from getting that in the can, so to speak. Chicago Pagan Pride happened here in the last couple of weeks in the interim from the last show. And I always attend Chicago Pagan Pride to do some recording with the various presenters and entertainment acts and that kind of thing. Today, whenever you're listening to this, this moment in time, I'd like to present to you sort of a day at Chicago Pagan Pride. This year I did something a little different. I wanted to start a conversation. Today we're calling this episode Inciting a Fluffy Riot, because I'd been going over some old writing from early riot articles, inspired by some conversations I've seen recently cropping up on social media. There's a lot of topics that come in and out of vogue in the pagan media sphere and the pagan interwebs, so to speak, and the idea of the fluffy bunny comes up often. And you know what? I have skewered my share of fluffy bunnies over the years. But there was something that struck me this year going into Pagan Pride about this particular resurgence of the conversation of the fluffy bunny, of what the fluffy bunny is and how terrible, being a fluffy bunny is and all of that kind of thing. And it struck me as odd because I was really looking forward to going back to Pride. And I was really looking forward to that sort of sense of newness and wonder and getting to play, which is something that a lot of times we use as a weapon against newer folks or folks that we consider fluffy bunnies. So I did some interviews with some folks at Pagan Pride, some names you'll recognize, some names you won't. And a lot of those have different takes on what a fluffy bunny is, folks just kind of one-off views of the function of the fluffy bunny inside of paganism. And I'm going to be sort of interspersing my own editorial views here and there. Also, we've got some great music from some of the acts at Pride this year, so you'll be hearing that interspersed with the conversation. So it's going to be kind of a loose show. I hope that you enjoy it. But first, a word from the organizer, Ms. Twyla York. So I am sitting here with Ms. Twyla York, the Chicago Pagan Pride maven, the one who does all of the organizing and all of the stressing. Good weather that you ordered for us today, Twyla.
I do a lot of sacrifices throughout the year, There's been a couple bottles of bourbon that's gone out for different deities to help with this.
I feel like I can tell a difference in the weather before you took over as organizer and after, because it really, your events typically have gorgeous weather, so I approve.
It does. I think also how we moved it back. It used to be the first weekend in September, so that's usually hotter and like that.
Yeah, this is a pretty perfect time. So tell me about today's event. I feel like it's
way bigger than I've ever seen it before.
It actually keeps growing every year. We keep adding more vendors, and so therefore we have more people coming out, and we're guessing over 1,000 people this year.
I mean,
that's what we're guessing.
It's just so many different kinds of vendors, so many different kinds of musical acts and entertainment acts and all sorts of really cool things.
Oh, yeah. And I'm really happy. I think we have 60 vendors, something like that, out this year, and it's ranging from pillows to herbs to stones to catnip bags to doggy pillows to our custom drum guy that makes drums out of old propane tanks.
I love that guy.
Oh, he's amazing.
I love just going and sitting and listening because he makes beautiful music.
And he has an easy app. He just sits there and plays all day. It's great.
It's great. It's gorgeous. It's Do you have any favorites?
I'm not going to pick favorites.
Just between me, you, and, like, you know, 200,000 people on the internet.
You know what? I actually really don't, because of the fact that every single one of them brings so much out that I love them all. And, like, I don't want to pick one because I love every single one of them. They bring such a unique element. Even if I have three jurists making the same exact type of jewelry, they're bringing something different out. And that is what I love about it, is that everyone comes with their own personality, with their own energy, with their own creativity in their works. And I'm so happy to be able to come out here every year and meet everyone and talk with everyone.
So is Greater Chicagoland Pagan Pride affiliated with the International Pagan Pride Movement?
Yes. It's actually part of Pagan Pride Project Day International, and that is an international organization that the whole point of it is to put on Pagan Pride events throughout the world to celebrate paganism, to educate the community about paganism. And so I know there's one in Bloomington, Illinois, there's one in Wisconsin, there's a couple in Indiana, all under that umbrella of Pagan Pride Day International, with the whole purpose of educating the community, bringing the community together, because there's so many vendors and so many people that come out today that do not see anyone throughout the year until they come to this event, and then they see so-and-so they haven't seen all year. And that's what I want the event to be, is that day that no matter what's going on, you have a community here. And that's the great thing about it.
Yeah, Selena Fox of Circle Sanctuary just came up to me. She's like, "Oh, Firelight, it's so good to see you again this year." And gave me a big old hug, and you get to see kind of, you know, old friends and folks that you know, we're all personalities online.
Yeah.
But it's really cool that, you know, this one day a year you get to see each other and actually, you know, embrace and have a drink and have a meal, and it's nice.
And we get to show the community that what else is going on.
Yeah.
You know, we have our Earth traditions, we have Yggdrasil, we have Wild Onion Grove, we have all these other groups that come out that you won't necessarily hear about versus Circle Sanctuary, and now you hear it.
If folks want to find out more about Greater Chicagoland Pagan Pride, if they want to get involved, if they want to volunteer, if they want to whatever, where should they go?
They can either go on our Facebook page. We have three of them, which is Greater Chicagoland Pagan Pride. We also have a Twitter page, which I think it's Chicago Pagan...
Greater Chicago Pagan Puh.
Yeah, P-R-I. I couldn't get the whole word in there. We also have a Gmail account, same thing. Our website is chicagopaganpride.org. You can also email us at greaterchicagolandpaganpride@gmail.com. So lots of ways. Also go to the dozens of people that are here and like, oh, I can get a hold of her. She's right.
Absolutely. Twilight, I'm sure that you are a very busy woman. Thank you so much for putting on this gorgeous event.
Thank you for coming
out. I'm so excited because Bell Book and Canto is about to go sing, and I need to hear them.
Yes.
They are gorgeous. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good luck with the rest of the day.
We'll have fun.
Of all the things you could have a Wikipedia article over, and all the things that are not Wikipedia articles regarding paganism and our various peripheral offshoots, I find it really, I don't know, odd, hilarious, ironic that Fluffy Bunny, parentheses Wicca, is actually a page on Wikipedia. And I don't know if this is some kind of official definition, but it's what's out there. If you were to, you know, Google Fluffy Bunny, it's the very first thing that comes up. Fluffy Bunny Pagans, the very first thing. So I guess if somebody out there were wondering what the heck it is, this is a good place to start, because this is what they would see. It says, the term Fluffy Bunny is used as a derogatory term within the contemporary pagan religion of Wicca to refer to practitioners whose adherence to the faith is perceived as being superficial and dominated by consumerist values. In doing so, it contrasts the speaker's perception that their own practice of Wicca is authentic with that of the inauthentic Fluffy Bunny. The usage of the term has been examined by a number of academics operating in the field of pagan studies. It was concluded through a study of a 2002 discussion thread. I don't know how that can be a study. of a discussion thread, but whatever. It was concluded that participants associated a number of traits with fluffy bunnies, such as pragmatism, profiteering, dabbling, modern, superficial, peripheral to the community, playful, and using multimedia to further practical and capitalist values. For many of those contributing to the thread, the term fluffy bunny was linked to the person who is uninformed, immature, and lacking in their understanding of the forces of nature, and consequently dangerous because they may misuse magic. Oh, all those folks with their books and Latin. Don't speak Latin near the books. I think that part is particularly one of my favorite things that we do here in the pagan community is police one another's use of magic. Oh my god, they're misusing magic as though it's a gun or something. They added that on this thread, a minority of participants defended the legitimacy of, air quotes, fluffy bunnies to practice Wicca as they saw fit, highlighting that not all practitioners have the same level of experience and involvement in the religion. They also noted that various practitioners expressed the opinion or hope that no one would think that they themselves were fluffy bunnies. Ultimately, they thought that the term fluffy bunny was a trope used to invoke a generally felt collective consciousness of an authentic pagan identity. And I've said it before, and I will continue to say it forever and ever and ever until the point stops being true, that until we decide to define what a pagan is, until we give some kind of hard limitations to what it means to be a pagan, then we need to really slow our roll a bit when it comes to telling other people that they aren't. Since the religion's rise in popularity, several pejorative terms such as fluffy bunny or the old lady brigade have been used in the Wiccan and neo-pagan community to describe adherents that they view as superficial or faddish. Common descriptions given by people using the term include elements such as the practitioner deliberately choosing to emphasize goodness, light, eclecticism, and elements taken from the New Age movements over elements seen as too dark, as well as the practitioner appearing to follow the religion as a fad. The term fluffy bunny became more prevalent in the 90s after it was used to describe a depiction of the Wiccan religion in the television series Buffy the Vampire Slayer. The show, which featured a Wiccan coven, raised ire from practitioners of Wicca who believed that the coven in the show reinforced stereotypes. Of course, those folks are forgetting that that's exactly what it was supposed to do, and Willow made fun of them, saying they're just a bunch of wanna blessed bees. But, you know, don't let what actually happened stand in the way of your ire. Modern colloquial usage of the term in communities such as Tumblr and e-cauldron, didn't know that was a thing, has changed to indicate people who are willfully ignorant or purveyors of false information, notably incorrect statistics and facts regarding the burning times, rather than those who prefer love and light, New Age philosophies, or who emulate popular culture. Here's the thing, as a term, I guess this article does a pretty good job of defining what people mean when they say the word fluffy bunny. It's somebody that focuses on, you know, the love and light aspect, which is one of the reasons that I say love and light at the end of my blogs and my podcast. It's kind of a send up of the fluffy bunny culture or whatever. It used to kind of be poking fun at it, but over the years, I think it's kind of evolved to actually try to inject a little bit of love and light at the end of it. But there's this notion that, you know, if you focus on positive things, then you are indeed, you know, eschewing negative, that you can't possibly, you know, work with the dark arts, the dark and mysterious arts and all of that. There's also the idea, and I guess part of the argument for the term fluffy bunny or part of the ire that I could most closely agree with, or at least see sense in, is the idea that somebody purports information they know to be untrue, you know, especially about things like the burning times and other, you know, sort of pseudoscientific ideas and things like that. And we've covered that, you know, for the last 7 years on the show. But there's this idea that the fluffy bunny is somebody that knows better, but chooses to use their feel-good feelings as facts rather than actual facts. And here's the thing, folks. I think that we need to not be so terribly, terribly concerned with other people being wrong. And woohoo! I know that so many people just rolled their eyes and said, did Firelight just say we should not be concerned with other people being wrong? He's kind of made a podcast career out of being right. And I think that we as a community need to get to the point where education is important and empathy is important. And we need to remember that folks at the beginning phases of their path, or folks that have sort of stayed in the realms of focusing on the positive, aren't doing so with their head in the sand, the idea that the world is a dark place and, you know, they don't want to look at that, and they ignore it, and they purposefully are, you know, some kind of Pollyanna. They're the fool in the tarot deck and just kind of, you know, blindly wandering off the cliff. I don't think that that's true about folks that, you know, are labeled fluffy bunnies. I think that we all kind of need to take a look around and realize that the world has gone to hell and we are in the handbasket. And I don't think I am going to be able to find fault anymore with somebody that wants to focus on, you know, making their path a positive place, a place of happiness, of joy, of love and light, so to speak. I do very much still empathize, and I totally get why some folks are upset. Many folks are upset when people tout incorrect information. And I think in that regard, it is good that we do some self-policing. But at the end of the day, if somebody just isn't wanting to listen to fact, you need to do the self-care of worrying about yourself, making sure that you know your stuff, that you have good information, good access to facts and resources, and that you have built that good filter that I talk about all the time, and that you know how to parse out crap from reality, that you're using that good, you know, UPG, that you're using that good, you know, filter that you've built up from your years of study and introspection and, you know, research in areas that are not just what you found in the witchy section. And use all of that to make yourself more knowledgeable, more informed. And if somebody else is spouting stuff about, you know, oh, 9 million women and yada, 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 I am starting to believe that those folks are fewer and fewer and fewer, especially as podcasts, you know, podcasts have been around for so long. It blogs have been around for so long at this point. People are able to find good information much more readily and much more accessible than, you know, when I started on the path. I'm not that old. So, you know, information is changing. The way that we're able to research and to find information is changing. And I think that perhaps it's time that we start giving folks a break. All right, guys, so I'm asking rioters today that show up here at Chicago Pagan Pride one question, and that one question is, what do you think about the term fluffy bunny? We've got Michael Graywolf here. He's been a rioter for quite some time, pretty big online as well. You guys might have seen him around the pagan interwebs. So, Michael, what do you think about the term fluffy bunny?
You know, I think it's a good term. I know some people who don't like it. I think it's fairly useful. I have some friends that are very fluffy bunny pagans. They're all love and light. You know, they don't really want to mess with anything that's darker. But I personally practice a left-hand path, so I'm used to, you know, delving into dark stuff. You have to. You have to go into both light and dark.
Do you see the term fluffy bunny as a neutral term, or do you think that it's used more of as an insult? How do you feel that people take the term?
It's kind of both. It just depends on the person that you're talking to. If, you know, it's someone that you know, can very much be like a term of endearment, or I've heard people use it as, you know, not so nice a term. But I myself, when I use it, it's kind of, I want to say it's more middle of the ground. Like, I have no animosity behind it whenever I say it. But it's also, when I say it, it's like, okay, it's those people that have their minds closed to, you know, looking at both sides of magic.
So you see it as somebody that is staying in that 101 love and light,
yes,
intro area and doesn't want to move past it.
Very much.
Okay. Do you ever, I don't know, have moments on your pagan path? You know, those of us that have been on the path for
10, 15, you know, 20 years more, a lot of times, you know, I know that my friends and I will sit there and talk about how we kind of miss those days. You know, you miss the days of, like, innocently practicing everything, you know, and just kind of delving into, I don't know, a relishing of belief. Do you ever have those days whenever you're kind of missing being the fluffy bunny pagan?
No, because when I think back to when I was kind of a fluffy bunny pagan, I was very naive about a lot of stuff. I was doing a lot of stuff solitary, so I didn't really know, you know, that there you have to kind of delve into this other part of the of magic in order to really understand it. So I myself, I don't miss it. I'm happy how my path has progressed, and I'm perfectly fine jumping into the darker part of the pool. So.
Thank you.
I put it out on social media that I was going to be doing the show on Fluffy Bunnies, and I wanted to get some of your feedback on how you felt about the term, you know, how you related to it. So I'm going to be reading some of those responses interspersed in between some of the recordings from Pagan Pride. Katrina writes in, she says, Firelight, we are all at different stages in our lives, different moments on our path. The Fluffy Bunny is just another place on a path, the Fool in the Major Arcana. I'm so glad I'm not the only one that kind of sees that correlation there. A blank slate who may not even be aware they are about to step off a cliff into an unknown future, or maybe hesitating to make that leap in any real sense. From what I have always seen and believe since those late 90s chat rooms, the Fluffy Bunny is a person who is very young spiritually but doesn't seem to realize this. In fact, they seem to believe they know everything. There's a prime example of this in my hometown. A woman borrowed 2 Silver Raven Wolf books from me as her first introduction to Wicca, and within a few months was charging people for witchcraft lessons out of her home. I realized, after much frustration and many years of indignant annoyance, that this is her path. These are her mistakes to make. Like the child sitting at the back of the school bus teaching her friends about sex, she can be frustrating as she passes on misinformation, but mocking her won't help the situation. There is a finesse and a balance to helping her grow and helping those she is misleading find better information, and that process doesn't involve judgment or any sense of superiority on my part. And I'm so glad to see that sentiment being echoed, because that's kind of what I was trying to say earlier. I feel like it is okay for somebody to be wrong. It's even okay for somebody to be purposefully wrong and us have an opinion about that without it being some kind of negative judgmental opinion. I mean, I don't know if that makes any kind of sense, but I think it's okay for us to acknowledge the wrong information without, I don't know, further adding to any kind of cultural or group negativity. She goes on, also, I'd be pretty damn foolish to think I'm not making my own mistakes and causing my own damage. We should encourage everyone to grow and expand in their spiritual practice, just like we should encourage them to grow and expand in every other way. But some people just aren't there. Some people won't ever get beyond a 101 book, and if they simply aren't capable, can we judge them for that? I accept people for all kinds of other things. Shouldn't I accept this too? I sure as hell am not perfect. As pagans, we are, in my opinion, allowing ourselves to accept a certain level of reality that isn't necessarily valued on other spiritual paths. We don't shy away from death, but celebrate the wheel of time and the death and rebirth cycle. We believe in magic, which those outside of the pagan community may see as fantastical, but even that comes with a certain understanding of energies, of science, and of the natural order of things. We're a grounded people, I think, or have the potential to be. So why is that we are mocking a group of people for being at different places on their spiritual path? Are we nothing more than bullies? Each and every one of us likely went through a fluffy bunny stage. I know I sure as hell did. We need to show patience and tolerance. We need to understand that we can't all move through spiritual progress at the same pace. And truly, do we want to be all... Want to all be at the same place spiritually at the same time? Who would we learn from? And don't think for a second that we can't all learn from the Fluffy Bunny. There is an innocence and a sense of excitement that comes from the Fluffy Bunny that those who feel they're past that point in their path may have lost. There is a reminder of how energized we used to feel by the purchase of a stone or the latest Llewellyn book. There's also a lesson in absorbing the lessons of others, listening to others, and allowing ourselves to grow that can be taken from the Fluffy Bunny. Mockery and insults and lack of patience does nothing to help anyone. If the sign of a Fluffy Bunny is a know-it-all, does it help them if we respond by saying, no, I actually know way more than you. And is our hatred of the Fluffy Bunny actually just an embarrassment toward our own fluffy side?
Big treat today here at the Chicago Pagan Pride. I am sitting here again with a very familiar voice, both a familiar speaking voice and a familiar singing voice to you rioters. I am sitting here with Jen Roth Jones of Bell Book and Canto. Say hi, Jen.
Hello, folks.
Jen is here along with the rest of her quartet this year?
Trio.
Okay. So, Jen, I know that you were also pretty intrigued by the discussion recently regarding Ossetrue, the sort of issues that have recently arisen that kind of arise from time to time. You and I got into a discussion about it online.
We did.
Now, I know that you identify as Ossetrue as well.
Correct.
Identify as though it's some kind of orientation.
No, you're fine.
I came out when I was 12 as Ossetrue. So, for folks that are interested in Nordic reconstruction, reconstructionist paths, where do you recommend that they go for good information, good people, good organizations? You know, do you belong to one?
I actually don't belong to one. I'm more or less solitary. But the Troth has some absolutely fantastic stuff.
Okay. And I know that they're another sort of big name along with the AFA. But they're the good one.
Correct, yeah. Yeah.
If folks also, like you, maybe aren't around an organization, if there's books or anything, that do you have a recommendation where folks could go start reading?
I have lots of them, and, you know, I can't remember specifically who wrote them.
Any titles that come to mind?
No, I'm so sorry. It's blue. It's a blue book of mythology, and it's wonderfully written. But I can't remember what
it is. Are you excited for Neil Gaiman's new book of Norse mythology?
Oh my gosh, yes, I saw that on Facebook.
I am thrilled. I am so thrilled. I mean, he did such a brilliant job with American Gods. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite books of all time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Fantastically done. It's one of my favorites as well.
Absolutely fantastic. Any new music from Bell Book and Canto? Any new albums
out? Oh, yeah. Our new album is Poor Life Choices.
Okay. I love that.
It's a lot of really fun music. We went back to some of the bawdier tunes and songs about, you know, drinking songs and some songs about poor life choices. And I don't recommend playing it for young children unless you're either a really bad parent, you're a really amazing parent.
Or somewhere in between.
Yeah, you're right. We say that if your kids get the jokes, then it's really not our fault. It's already too late. But it's a lot of fun. We'll actually be doing a couple of songs from them at our set today.
If folks want to find Bell Book and Canto online,
best place to check is actually Facebook. Find us on Facebook. We do have a website as well, bellbookandcanto.com, but that's not updated nearly as often as the Facebook page.
So it's facebook.com/bellbookandcanto?
Yep.
C-A-N-T-O.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Jen Roth Jones.
Thanks, man.
The older I've gotten and the longer that I've been on this path, the more that I start thinking about this woman who was in my first pagan circle. I won't mention her name because I'm not in contact with her anymore, and it's been well over a decade since I've last been in touch with her. But I think about her often, especially in conversations of the Fluffy Bunny, because she was such a well-respected member of our community, and she held down an amazing, you know, full-time job. I mean, you know, folks in the mundane world may not have necessarily known much about her practice. I have absolutely no idea how she was at work. I just know that, you know, she was kind of one of those folks that kind of passed for a muggle, I suppose. But to be around her spiritually was such a magical experience. I mean, she was so connected to the spiritual realm, to fairies and to nature spirits and to, you know, the astral realm. And parts of it still, to me, just sound a little bit woo-woo. But the thing is, this woman took it so deadly seriously, but with such joy. And when I think of people, especially myself, when I think of hearing my own words back, you know, of kind of decrying the Fluffy Bunny, I started to think about her and about this notion of staying in a positive space spiritually, of being joyful in your practice and focusing on putting the positive into the world. And I think that if you're doing it because you are afraid to put negative into the world. You are afraid that, oh, well, you know, you're going to get what you put back. I think that's the wrong way to go about things. And this is just my personal opinion. You know, I'm not trying to offend any Wiccans or folks that follow some kind of karmic laws out there. But I think that if you're acting because you do not want a negative repercussion, I think that might be the wrong way to go about it. I think, you know, for my own purposes, I look at that kind of practice like she did, of it gave her joy to practice with joy. It gave her joy and purpose to purposefully be joyful in her practice. And she felt perfectly fine and perfectly capable with meeting out joy and positivity in negative situations. Yes, I'm sure she could have cursed just as well as the darkest, you know, I wear all black and I, you know, do the Watchtowers of the South and all those things, you know, 90s wannabe goth witch out there. But, you know, that just wasn't her speed. That wasn't her bag. And when I think of the adult fluffy bunny that I'd like to be, you know, I kind of think of her these days as somebody that purposefully practices with joy and purposefully has joy in her practice and in her life, because the world is a crazy, scary place. And she decided that her practice didn't need to be, that she didn't need that kind of focus in her practice. And what I've noticed is that my own practice has kind of evolved in that direction. I don't need to, you know, summon all the dark forces when something goes wrong. I choose to work differently. That's not to throw shade at anybody else's level of working. It just means that I think that a joyful path is just as valid.
Guys, I'm here with Mike Indovina, who created a pretty amazing graphic novel series, tarot deck. Mike, tell me a little bit about Salinas.
Salinas was a satyr. He was the tutor of the god Dionysus, mm-hmm. and he was supposed to have prophetic powers. And so I used him as my inspiration for the tarot deck. So
it's a beautiful tarot deck.
Okay.
And you did all the art yourself?
Yes, I did.
Wonderful. It's gorgeous. What kind of tools do you use? Is it traditional hand-drawn animation? Are you doing
I use computer for the colors. I use brush and ink for the drawings.
So tell me about the books.
Well, I've got quite a few books. I have Satyr, which is one of the first ones I ever did, and it's sort of inspired by the Satyr plays, the ancient Greek Satyr plays, which basically what they would do is they would take famous myths and they would insert the Satyr characters as the chorus,
mm-hmm.
and they would kind of make a mockery of it. You know.
So do you write them all yourself as well?
Yes, I do.
So are they a series? Are they individual stories?
Satyr was a series. It was 5 issues, and then I collected them into a book. And I also have the Grand Tour of Greek Mythology, which is just a one-shot thing. It's basically my take on the Greek myths. You know, it's short versions of heavily illustrated. I try to go through everything from creation of the universe until the founding of Rome.
Stories that we might know? Or are they original takes on Iliad, the Odyssey, you know, that kind of thing?
They're the myths as they were, but
okay.
Just my short versions of them. You know, I tried to make them as brief as possible. I also tried to lay them out in the order that they kind of would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
As far as
if folks want to find out more about you, your art, your work, Salinas,
right.
The tarot deck, where can folks find you online?
Well, I have a website. It's SatyrPlayProductions.com. And if you need me to spell that, it's...
we'll put it up on the show notes on the website.
Right.
And so you're on SatyrPlays.com.
Yeah. Yes.
Anywhere else? I see this beautiful comic book art here. Do you also do for Marvel, DC, that kind of thing?
I don't know, but... these are just drawings I did for fun. You know.
Well, it's gorgeous work. Folks, I highly encourage you to go check out Mike's work. It's incredible, and I can't wait to take home my first Satyr book.
Thank you.
You know, the more that I'm meditating on this idea of the fluffy bunny, the more that I find such irony in people in our community that have such ire, have such bile for somebody that gets facts wrong. You know, this, 9 million women and yada, yada, yada. You know, all of a sudden, whenever it comes to shaming somebody for being new or for being uninformed about, you know, their pagan history, or misinformed about their pagan history, you know, I find it kind of ironic because I've spent 7 years on this show and on the blog and on Witchfox and on all the other places that I've ever, you know, published articles and stuff talking about, you know, injecting facts and injecting, actual good, solid research into history, into our beliefs, into our practices, into, you know, a discussion of what it means to be pagan in the modern age. And I have gotten so much grief for that over the years. Now that is kind of massaged as the riot has found its audience and grown as it has. But I got such backlash in the beginning for not just accepting belief as it is, but yet we don't just accept belief as it is when it comes to the fluffy bunny being misinformed. We're perfectly fine being purposefully misinformed or you know, using our unverified or unsubstantiated personal gnosis to create our own reality. But when it comes to somebody that's new or misinformed on the path, boy, do we jump all over them because we recognize, we've come together and recognized some facts, some, areas like the Burning Times and like, you know, other sort of areas as being something we got wrong, as being something that we got wrong for a really long time. And I don't know if that we're ashamed that we as a community embraced it for so long that now we have to make fun of people that do, espouse that as though it had actually been fact. Or what the case is, but I do find that there is this irony, this cognitive dissonance, this disconnect between us making fun of the fluffy bunny for being misinformed or for perpetuating misinformation. And yet, when somebody says, okay, I like this plan, we all want facts, we want good, solid information, or at least we want an alternative take. We want good research. We want to get all academic and stuff. But when somebody tries to apply that to other newer areas, boy, do we push back. And I think that we need to be thinking why. What causes us to push back so hard at a fluffy bunny talking, you know, Burning Times, talking, correspondences, talking, astral plane, talking familiars, talking, you know, all of the areas that we, reincarnation, that kind of thing. What causes us to push back so hard on that and to demand fact and to demand veracity there, but doesn't cause us to want the same level of academic authenticity in the rest of our practice? And I think that, I mean, I don't have an answer here. I'm kind of using this episode as a stream of consciousness, to have a one-sided conversation about the term fluffy bunny, I suppose. But I think that that's something that we need to ask ourselves and ask one another to get this conversation going about why we demand accuracy from the new or the misinformed, but we don't demand it from those areas yet unexplored, or those areas where we have all still decided as a community that we're comfortable. We're comfortable in the current information. We're comfortable in the current dogma. We're comfortable in the current liturgy. Why is it okay for us to push back in one regard and for us to hold so tightly to our beliefs in the other? So I got the privilege of sitting right next to this amazingly talented singer, and I think all of you should know who she is. Please introduce yourself to the podcasting audience.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lizzie Crowe. I am one half of a singing group called Cheshire Moon with my husband, Eric. We take old stories and old myths and bring them into the modern age. One of the things we like to do is we like to give Disney princesses a spine because I don't need rescuing. I can get away from this dragon myself.
One of my favorite things in the whole wide world is Disney.
Isn't it lovely?
I love it.
Isn't it lovely?
And your song Disenchanted, I think, is my new anthem. I'm going to be playing that
on your CD all the way home. I can't wait.
Oh, I'm so
I'm
going
to make all of my friends listen to that.
That
it's
makes
wonderful.
Me so happy. Oh, thank you so much.
I will play it right after this interview so that everybody can hear it.
Fantastic. Thank you.
So how long have you guys been singing?
We have been a group for 5 years.
Okay.
Actually, this is very close to the anniversary of when we got started.
Wow.
We got started technically 6 years ago, but we didn't actually put out our first album until 2011. And our third album, which is going to be called The Midnight Contingent, will be coming out in the middle of this coming February, 2017.
Wonderful.
So we have two full-length albums out so far, and number three is almost done.
That's so great. That's so great. Now, are you guys, you know, garage banding it with, you know, home studios, that kind of thing, like the rest of us? Or do you have a professional studio you work in?
There is a project studio that is run by a very dear friend of ours. She is a professional, and so we are able to very, very graciously use some of her equipment, some of her time. She does absolutely exceptional work. It's called The Record Mill. It's in Ames, Iowa. And she has done the recording for both of our first albums and both of the two EPs that we have out. And she is ready to go on the third.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. So where can folks find your music?
You can find us at CheshireMoon.net. You can also find us on Facebook. Just type in Cheshire Moon, and we're one of the only things out there, so we're easy to find. My wonderful tie-dye wearing husband and my short little self. If you have any questions, let us know. We are eager to answer questions about the myths that we use, as well as the actual origins of the stories that we use.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
What is your favorite Disney movie?
Oh, goodness. I am actually torn between Tangled and The Black Cauldron.
I like you. I like you so much. I like that it's like big mass market appeal and then the one that everybody hated.
Oh, come on. It wasn't that bad.
Oh, now, it was good. I liked it.
There were aspects of it that Disney really found later on to be way too scary.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's what a lot of these fairy tales were.
Yes.
If you go back to the original Grimms, if you go back to 12th century England, if you go back to 9th century Gaul, and you get to the original stories, there is death and dismemberment, mm-hmm. and good luck getting the princess. There are 100-year comas. There are these horrible, tragic things that
and
people were telling.
And you wake up from these 100-year comas in very different ways than Disney explains.
Exactly. And you are telling these stories to children. And from the perspective now, we're like, what were you doing? But then you read them and it's like, you know, these are actually really neat. These are actually kind of cool. And so those are the stories that we want to, you know, bring back into the forefront. We want to bring them back into the consciousness of, you know, the story lovers that are out there, because there's so much more than what Disney has given us. And it's like, yes, bring it out.
Wonderful. Well, rioters, please check out Cheshire Moon on Facebook. Their third album is going to be coming out in February. Check that out. Thank you so much, Lizzie.
Thank you.
Jay wrote in on the topic of fluffy bunnies and said, in my experience, the term fluffy bunny has almost always been used as a put-down, either because someone feels that they are somehow superior or that the other person is not on a suitable pagan path. I never have liked the fact that the term is so often used on newcomers to the path. It is usually that someone is inexperienced, and rightly so. We can't expect someone to have loads of experience simply by walking in the door. And I've often thought it might be jealousy on the part of older practitioners because of the newcomer's innocent, wide-eyed, everything is just so magical outlook. I was once called a fluffy bunny by a friend of mine only because my path was not the same as his. He believed that he had found the one true path to the pagan experience and everyone else was a fluffy. I have been known to call things fluffy if they demonstrably have no cultural basis in history or pagan ideals. Like some New Age practices, they are demonstrably made up out of thin air, but I have to ask myself, when I do that, am I just as guilty as someone poo-pooing someone else because they aren't doing it right? I have seen the term used to point out someone who holds beliefs that are dangerous. A friend had the idea that the goddess will protect me when he did stupid things like drink and drive. Even though he had several organs removed because of the damage to his body due to the number of car accidents he had, he would say that the goddess is keeping me here, so it must be working. I think for the most part, the term should not be used as it is commonly used to denigrate people, but it can also be used to point out someone whose ideals about the pagan path are so far removed from good sense that an intervention is needed. But I think the latter needs to have a better set of words to express that.
Rioters, big treat today. I have the indomitable Selena Fox sitting with me. How are you, Selena?
I'm doing great. It's wonderful to be here with you here at Chicago Pagan Pride Day 2016.
How many years have you been doing this? I know that
many
the last
years
several
and,
I've
yeah,
seen you here.
I have been coming so long, it's hard to believe. I've been making this part of my annual journey. I do travel and speak at other pagan prides, but this has become one of my Pagan Pride Day homes.
I mean, my gosh. It's gotten so big over the last few years. It's been a wonderful thing. And I have to say, since Twyla took over as organizer, the weather has been... we've been blessed with brilliant weather the last few years.
It has been fabulous.
Yes, it's one of the best Pagan Pride events I've ever been to.
And the Circle Sanctuary booth, we were over by the youth the first year or two, and then we moved over to the gate, and we're in a new place this time. And
you guys kind of have a mall over there.
Yes,
I love it.
And we've expanded the number of people helping us from not only the greater Chicagoland mm-hmm. area, but people connect with the Circle Sanctuary community are from all over the country and
yes.
some other countries. So we've had people coming from all over the place today and networking. It's been fabulous.
So tell me a little bit about Circle Sanctuary. I've talked about it before on the show and on the blog, and you know, the pagan community at large has a lot to, it owes a lot to Circle Sanctuary.
Well, thank
you.
You
guys have done some brilliant, brilliant work over the years. I think we have Circle Sanctuary to thank for getting the pentacle recognized as a symbol on military headstones.
We certainly helped get that manifested, but I want to acknowledge all the people
yes,
who were part of that.
Absolutely.
We're actually coming up to the 10th anniversary of that victory next April, and this fall we are actually doing some commemorative events looking at 10 years ago this fall. In September, it was giving the VA one more chance to get it approved before we took it to the courts. Did they approve it? No. Did we go to the courts? Yes. Not just one federal court, two federal courts, plus another group also went into a federal court. So eventually, the VA decided they were going to acknowledge it. And I'm happy to say that it has been on the list, and it's opened the gateway not only for other pagan symbols to go
Absolutely.
On the list, but symbols of all faiths
yes,
and beliefs.
Yeah. It was a pretty powerful precedent to be set.
It was. And the fact that a conservative judge mm-hmm. in Wisconsin, the federal court there, made a ruling that the VA had to turn over all their documents, including the documents that pointed to the highest office of the land not being embracing of diversity. So I guess the good thing is we were able to hang in there, and there was lots of support, not only from other pagans, but people of many beliefs and no beliefs. We had the atheists helping
absolutely.
Us too.
Absolutely.
And we were
freedom
able
of religion to... means freedom for every religion and from religion, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to be able to celebrate that. And part of what I'm hoping will happen is that pagans in this U.S. election year mm-hmm. will embrace
Absolutely.
The democracy that came from pagan Greece, be educated voters, and get out and vote, because it can make a difference.
Absolutely.
And there are some real choices when it comes to mm-hmm. diversity
and
a whole spectrum.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Circle Sanctuary is such a brilliant example of pagans that you know, really know how to enact change and know how to be cognizant of what's going on in the world. Because I think so often we're such an insulated community. We're small. And I think, you know, very small minority communities, we make up 0.03% of the American population. And I think when you are that small, there's a tendency to want to just kind of check out of the overall conversation. Well, that's the majority. It doesn't apply to us. It's not for me. That's for the overculture, that kind of thing. But I think the work that you guys do at Circle Sanctuary is so indicative of remaining engaged, you know, being a part of the conversation, no matter the size. You know, you can have a mighty voice. You can enact real change, no matter your size, as long as you know how to go about it the right way and you stay informed.
And you have good allies.
Absolutely.
And you find clever ways of being able to build momentum to get attention and then work with the system to let it go in a better direction.
Absolutely.
So I'm hoping that people, regardless of how they consider themselves politically, will do the education that is so necessary.
Absolutely.
And really do some visioning at this time as we go into fall equinox and then into Samhain, to really do some visioning. What kind of world do you want to see?
Absolutely.
And who do you want to elect to help envision and manifest that world? So there are some really clear choices in many of the elections, and I'm not going to tell anybody how to vote, but I will say there are some troubling platform planks that are laying the groundwork for diversity to be diminished in their equal rights. So we need to really do our education and not rely on a single media source or hearsay.
Correct.
We need to go to credible sources.
Facebook is not a credible source.
There is a lot of things that get shared in many different ways that really haven't been fact-checked.
Right.
So we need to not only check and get the facts, but we also need to do some divination on it, some reflection on it, to really go deep and realize that, yes, we can make a difference,
yes,
and
we
need to do that. So lots of amazing things are happening at this Pagan Pride Day. Lots of people are coming from all over the place. Beautiful weather, many traditions. I've watched this gathering just grow year after year. I can just tell you from being at the Circle Sanctuary booth multiple times, as well as doing my broom rituals workshop. Lots of new people here,
and there are,
as well as people that come every year, and it's so wonderful
and
here.
For folks that can't be here, that want to learn more about Circle Sanctuary, want to learn more about you, where should we direct them to?
Go to our website, www.circlesanctuary.org. You can find me on the web at selenafox.com. But probably the place you're going to see most of my stuff is Facebook, Selena
Fox. You are very active on Facebook. I love it.
Selena Fox updates, Instagram, Selena Fox, and Twitter, Selena_Fox. Yes, I'm letting myself connect with people in a variety of different ways during the cyberspace realm.
Yes, those worldwide pagan interwebs.
I do free workshops and rituals on Tuesday nights if you want to listen live, and it's called Nature Folk.
Oh, fun.
And you can go to the Circle Sanctuary website, look under Circle Radio. We have another show called Circle Talk where we are interviewing all sorts of folks, including pagan authors. Over the next few weeks, I've just started a new ritual tools series, and actually my broom rituals workshop right here at Chicago Pagan Pride was a debut of what's going to appear on internet radio in a few weeks.
Well, thank you so much, Selena. I so much appreciate it. And you know what? Do you mind if I ask you one silly question? I've been asking everybody, what do you think of the term fluffy bunny? Is it time to put it to bed? Do you think it's a funny thing? What do you think?
I think
that term has been around for so long.
That has been around for a really long time. So first of all, I think we have to ask bunnies what they think about this term. Not all bunnies are fluffy. And I also think we have to look at what the sentiment is when we use that term. Are we endeavoring to stereotype? And if we are stereotyping, is that being helpful in a conversation? Is that adding more support and connectivity? Is it deepening conversation? Or is it a way to disparage? So one of the things I think about that term is that we really have to look at who's using it,
Absolutely.
The context, and also be aware that a lot of creatures do not like being woven into human drama.
Very true. Thank you so much, Selena.
Thank you.
Green Wolf writes in and says, fluffy bunnies. So much can be said about fluffy bunnies. I think it's essential to remember that most, if not all, pagans went through the fluff stage of their path. And when you look at the 101 books available, it's easy to see why. How many books begin with the "we don't do evil, we're all about love and light and sparkles and rainbows"? If you approach a new religion with those ideas in the forefront of your mind, how can you not come across as a fluffy bunny? Look at other faiths, such as Christianity. How many people who come to Christianity begin with only the initial knowledge that Yahweh is a God of love and forgiveness, It's only after the initial religious honeymoon phase is over that they might begin to look deeper into the history of the focus of their faith. That's when they discover the smiting and cursing and killing of almost all of humanity because it got cranky. That's when one finds the verses about when and how it is appropriate to kill someone for disobeying. In our case as pagans, we begin to look at some of the other deities and find that some are darker, with attributes that are not the most loving and sparkly and rainbow-tastic. Perhaps things get just too hard for the rainbows and sparkles to work, and they need to look at curses or other workings that are on the darker side of gray. Then, and only then, do their eyes begin to open, and they can appreciate the beauty inherent in both the light and darkness.
Okay, listeners, so I was packing up, about to leave Chicago Pagan Pride, and this one last listener ran up, and she said, "Oh my God, I am your biggest fan.
Don't you even lie.
I have to be on your show.
I have your car keys now."
Her name is Veronica Daylight.
You are such a liar.
Hi, Velma Nightshade.
Hi, Firelight. How are you?
I'm swell. How are you?
I am
You're
good.
Alive.
I am alive. Of course I'm alive.
I think many people think, like, you went the way of...
Christianity?
Sure.
No. No.
Zing.
I'm alive. I am well. I am busy, busy with things other than podcasting at the moment.
How... So busy, busy with things other than podcasting.
Yes.
Tell me about Magical Miscellany.
It's awesome.
How's
awesome,
it doing?
Awesome, awesome. It's doing very, very well. We just had a fantastic day today.
You had a double booth.
Well, we always have a double booth because we have so much cool stuff that
you
we...
You do have really cool
we
stuff.
We kind of have to have space.
You are like witchy Bed Bath & Beyond.
Sort of,
except
yeah.
Just like, just the beyond.
Well, there's some bath stuff.
Or bath and out of body works. I can do this all day.
But yes, that works as well. It does. But plus, of course, Wool of Bat.
Yes.
Yes, which is the new hand-dyed yarn collection.
You were seeking free testers earlier this year.
Yes, and I am happy to say that yarn is on its way to testers and my test knitters. So there will be pictures of that coming soon.
Okay, so where are you now online? So Magical Miscellany.
MagicalMiscellany.etsy.com is still where everything is. Mm-hmm. By the end of the year, Wool of Bat will be its own Etsy site. But for right now, all of the Wool of Bat stuff can be found on Magical Miscellany still.
And it's MagicMiscellal.
Yes.
MiscellalAny.
Yes.
Dot Etsy.com.
Etsy.com. Yes. That's it.
So I'm going to ask you my question. Okay. I've been asking random people this question.
Okay.
And so today's little pagan pride topic,
okay.
I thought a nice appropriate time to talk about community. The term fluffy bunny.
Okay, so that's going to foster community. That's
so what do you
way
think
to go.
One, about the term fluffy bunny and about people who either identify as or are identified as fluffy bunnies.
Okay, well, I, as much as yes, I have used the term,
I mean, we all have.
I do acknowledge that it is kind of a derogatory way of referring to people, but it is, it's kind of like, I hate to use this analogy, but it's kind of like when you're joining a fraternity and mm-hmm. you have like the pledge class that mm-hmm. has to go through Hell Week and mm-hmm. all the rest of it. It's kind of the same idea. Like you kind of have to go through at least everybody thinking that you're a fluffy bunny when mm-hmm. you start out, when you're learning, but hopefully people work through that phase and move on. I think there are some people who are very happy there, which is okay. I mean, if that's your thing, that's your thing. But generally, there are people who choose to be fluffy bunny, love and light and all of that, and that's good. And that's fine. But I think for the people who are staying there because they just don't want to learn, that's kind of where
that's kind of where I start having a problem, is
yes.
You don't want... But I will say, I mean, I mean, Inciting Riot has been rough on the fluffy bunny at
you
times.
You have not exactly been kind.
But I have to say, I mean, as I'm starting to become one of those, you know, more seasoned, grayer pagans...
Yes?
I start kind of missing the innocence of that time. And not necessarily blaming people for wanting to stay in that feeling.
And I do occasionally have a little longing for that sense of wonder that you get when you do learn something new.
I mean, when you just want to put on some, like, funky tie-dye socks and glittery fairy wings and watch a marathon of, like, Practical Magic and Mists of Avalon and talk about how you definitely were part of that life
and
at some point.
That was your weekend last weekend, right? You totally did that, didn't you?
Might have been.
You have totally done that. I know you have. Either that or that's your plan for this evening.
It might very well be also my plan for this evening.
I think, yes. It's sort of your weekly thing.
It might be Halloween Town.
It's your Sunday night ritual.
I might be Disney pagan tonight.
You're frequently Disney pagan, I think.
I am frequently a Disney pagan.
Yes.
I am frequently a Disney pagan. Velma Nightshade, it's so good to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
I'm going to see you soon.
You are.
I am coming to a very exclusive.
You managed to land yourself an invitation to my Halloween party, and I'm not entirely sure how you did that, but you did manage to do that.
I did. I stole it from someone.
You totally did.
I stole it. You ran
them down in the parking lot.
Well, you were going to send it to Corey.
Yes.
And then I jumped in the way.
Yes,
and
you did.
I said, no. Mine, no.
Yes.
Can we do our thing? Before as we wrap up.
Oh my God, you're asking me to brain. It's been so long.
Do you remember our intro?
I don't.
The unison, where we said it in unison.
Oh,
can
yes.
We?
Okay. All right, I suppose.
One, two, three.
What's up, witches?
That was fun.
Oh my God, we're such nerds.
I missed that. All right, later, witches.
Bye.
Thank you so much, Veronica Daylight, for hopping on the show. Quick little announcement. Inciting a Brouhaha, my joint show with the incomparable Velma Nightshade, is coming back. We are coming back, rebooting the show. It will be coming out next month, November 2016. So if you have not already subscribed to the show, just go to iTunes, look for Inciting a Brouhaha, and subscribe, go ahead, download our old shows, bask in the awesomeness that was Inciting a Brouhaha, and get ready because we are coming back. A day at Pagan Pride would not be complete without mentioning my very dear friend, literary maven of Inciting a Riot, Vena Harper. Hi, Vena.
Hello, darlings.
It's been quite a while since we've heard from you.
Maybe.
Have you been on the show in 2016?
I've been on sabbatical.
What? Really? Are we doing puns now?
We're always doing
puns. I hate puns. Puns kill part of my soul. Okay, so I'm sure that you heard me talking to some of the writers and some other folks throughout the day. My question of the day, and I mean, I couldn't let it go without getting the literary perspective on the term fluffy bunny. Vena, what do you think of the term fluffy bunny, about people identified as fluffy bunnies, about people that identify themselves as fluffy bunnies? What do you think about that whole construct inside of pagan community?
I think if you want to categorize yourself as fluffy bunny, that's a great thing. Go ahead. I think it's hard when someone else is trying to claim that you are a fluffy bunny and trying to put that on you, because it's the pagan equivalent of saying, well, really, you're just not that bright or that interested in anything. We were talking earlier in the day, it's very similar to everyone has a different style and a different path. And you don't always have to summon the gods of death to call yourself a witch. You can work with light things.
But I mean sometimes.
But it's like someone who doesn't throw out curses all the time doesn't mean they can't, or that they aren't really a practicing pagan. It's just a difference of flavor.
Well, and then it kind of goes back to that notion, you said doesn't throw out curses all the time. There's that kind of pagan adage, those who can't heal can't curse. If you can't curse, if you can't heal, that kind of thing. It's worded differently in different places. But that idea that, yes, I think that we get into paganism, and I think one of the things that we immediately do is we run off to the very edges. We run as far away from whatever we came from. And for most of us, that's Christianity. And we run as far away from it as we can. And so, I think that leads a lot of people into thinking that being deep, that being introspective, that being a knowledgeable pagan means only ever embracing the dark gods and the old gods and dark magic and yada, yada, yada. And I think that, I don't know, maybe there's something to be said. I know for me, this far into my pagan path,
I kind of sometimes long for those days of innocence and kind of, you know, the fluffy stage.
I think it's very similar to the idea that everyone has philosophical views on things and political opinions about all of the horrible things that have been happening in the world. And it's important to have those very deep introspective moments, but it's kind of a downer at parties. I mean, you don't always want to be the one person who's trying to kill the energy in the group, so to speak. There's a place for fun and a place for lightness. A good example was being at Pagan Pride today. Some of the group ritual that was happening in the workshops, it was very positive, very inclusive, very upbeat. But that's okay, because that's a place that more of us are all comfortable to go together. So when we're trying to find a place of unity, that's a good spot to look.
Kind of diverting away from the one question today, tell me about your experience today at Pagan Pride. You got to see a little bit more of it than I did. I was kind of manning my art booth and doing my interviews and chatting up folks. So what was your experience today at Chicago Pagan Pride?
It was a beautiful day. We could not have asked for nicer weather.
That Twyla, she is a weather witch.
Twyla was amazing with how she's able to organize everything every year. She has so much more patience for that than I do.
She's so good, and the event just gets better and better and better.
Huge shout out to Twyla. There were also, if anyone was lucky enough to go, a lot of terrific musical groups today. I know there's one CD that hopefully will be heard on the Riot at some point, a song or two from that. And also, I'm horrible, I don't have the name of the group in front of me, but Lindsay Prine and her group that did drums and singing and belly dance, it was just mesmerizing to watch and was beautiful. But there's, I mean, just above and beyond, the classes were very good. A lot of the booths had that homemade stuff, things you can't find anywhere else, like, you know, wood-carved runes and silver-dipped leaves and things just that make it feel special to the moment. There's something you can't get back from shopping online at little witchy shops, just that feeling of community and other people who are interested in the same things you are. You can strike up conversations just on a whim.
Well, and the nice thing is that pagan community is, because it's so small and so disparate, and, you know, we're all so far apart from each other most of the time, you know, unless you're blessed to live inside of a city and have found a really tight-knit community in that metropolitan area, a lot of us live kind of far away, and Pagan Pride is one of those times when every year you get to get back together and say, oh my gosh, hey! How are you? How are things, Selena Fox? You know, how's stuff going? And there's folks you only ever see at Pride, but they feel like old friends after, you know, you've been talking to them online, you see them on Facebook, and you guys exchange messages, but there's just something about, you know, being able to hug somebody and say hi and be in their physical space, and it's just so cool.
Well, and even the opening and closing ceremonies, just seeing other local groups or local covens or orders do a ritual and seeing what they do differently. What's an idea that you might like to borrow? What's something that they do that you're like, oh, you know, that doesn't really work for me, but it's interesting in this space. I like that ability to kind of compare notes.
Hey, so I can't let you go without asking you, Vena Harper, literary maven, what are you reading right now? What should the rioters be reading?
Okay, rioters, this is a weird suggestion, but follow me.
Oh, God. So it's called the Bible, right? No. It sold a few copies. Is it Mein Kampf?
No.
Oh, is it the new Trump book?
It is not the new Trump book. What you really desperately need to read...
Mein Kampf 2.
No.
The Oranging.
Go to Amazon or...
Barnes & Noble?
Or Barnes & Noble or CopperCanyonPress.com. You need to order this new book by Ocean Vuong. It's V-U-O-N-G for his last name. First name Ocean, like water, which I have a love of. It's called Night Sky with Exit Wounds, and it's a poetry collection, and it's this young man talking about his life and his family growing up and how violence, you know, sort of cycles through the generations of a family and how things affect one another. Beautiful, beautiful book, and he's incredibly fascinating if you ever watch him speak, but that is what I've been reading recently, and I would highly, highly recommend it.
And we also have a really fun interview coming up with the author of Jailbreaking the Goddess, and both of us are making our way through that wonderful book.
And I'm so excited to be able to chat with the author soon and discuss that with you guys. And Vin is going to be doing a fabulous book review for the website.
It's going to be beautiful.
It's going to be jailbreaking. All right, thank you so much, Vinna.
Thank you.
I don't know if today's show was helpful for you. I don't know if this will begin the conversation that I'm hoping that it begins on the term Fluffy Bunny, but I hope that it at least sits with you. I hope that you can at least start having a conversation with yourself and about the way that you identify yourself and the way that you identify others in relation to yourself and the place that you are on your path and whether or not you feel better or worse about yourself or about others because of where you are on your path, which I think is kind of where it all comes back to us identifying other people as Fluffy Bunny, is where are we on our path and are they where we are or have they not reached, you know, the level? Are they, I am a level 7 and they're only a level 2. And it's, I mean, you know, I hope that it at least inspires you to do some thinking about the term, about you, about our culture, about our community. I'd love to hear from you all, you, the Rioter community. Firelight at incitingariot.com. That's F-I-R-E-L-Y-T-E at incitingariot.com. Tell me about Fluffy Bunnies. Tell me about your experience in the pagan community. Do you feel like a Fluffy Bunny still? Like I've said all episode, I swear, the older I get, the more I kind of turn to that. You know, I do feel like an inner Disney pagan. And at times I kind of wish that I could just stay in that space. And I think that the more I learn and the more knowledge that I gain and the more filters that I put information through, the more that I don't see any problem with practicing with joy, with injecting positivity into my practice and into my life. You know, there's that funny meme that goes around the pagan social media sphere from time to time, you know, where it says, oh, you know, so the situation is you have a ghost in your house. You have, your house is being haunted. And the new pagan lights 30 candles and speaks in Latin and has, you know, a brew with 17 ingredients and a mirror and a black mirror and a robe and all of that, you know, in order to exorcise the spirit. And then, you know, it has the pagan that's been on their path for a little while. And they have a few candles and a simple spell and, you know, maybe one robe or something. But then you have the pagan that's been doing it forever and they just start yelling, get the ever-loving F out of my house, ghost. And the funny thing is, the longer that I've on this path and the more knowledge that I gain and the more that I speak to other people in the community and the more that I learn from my elders and my betters, the more that I see that it's kind of okay to have that practice that's simple, that's joyful, that's meaningful. Because when stuff does go down, when you do have to get real, you can still do that and be authentic to that place of joy. So get back to me. Firelight at incitingariot.com. Please, please, please like, rate, subscribe to the show on iTunes. It does help other people find the podcast. If you give it a good old 5-star rating, it helps us to bump us up in the feeds. I am going to start doing some more feedback on the show in upcoming episodes, and I'll be reading some iTunes comments. So if you'd like to be on the show, you can either email in your feedback or put a review up. I'll be shouting out some of my favorite reviews. So go to iTunes, find Inciting a Riot, and give it a little review if you don't mind. Let's see. You can tweet me at Inciting a Riot. You can find me on Facebook. Firelight. I'm Firelight now on Facebook. Yay. And the show is facebook.com/incitingariotpodcast. The blog, where all the show notes and blog posts and things are that I do, is incitingariot.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. Normally, I would tell you that I leave you with Love and Light, Firelight, and then you would hear that fun little, you know, guitar strummy tune. But I would love to leave you tonight with a song from Cheshire Moon. This was the song that just perked my ears and my little Disney spirit up and made me want to go over and say, oh my God, I need to know who you are. This is Disenchanted.
wanted. A golden star you asked for every single day. You locked me in here, but you couldn't take the moonlight. Now I'm cutting loose to find the things that you never taught me. You can keep my hair, I don't need it to be pretty. You can keep my tower, I don't need it to be strong. I'm racing out to find the places where the sun and moon have coffee, when you can't see either one at all. I've tied the only thing you loved about me to the window. I'm down and gone, leaving all I know behind. I've hitched a ride on a story all my own, and when the sun comes up, never been so happy to be blinded. So I'll keep running until I find an ocean, then hop a ship and find what's on the other side. I'll chase any dream I find along the way. I'll never know what might have been, but that's alright. So many years spent silent and afraid, but my wings are on the open road, and I'm learning how to soar. Precious princess, pet or puppet. Call me selfish, call me immature, and call me vain. I'll never stop until I hit that far horizon. Even if I never make it, it's worth the price I pay. So you can keep my hair, I don't need it to be pretty. You can keep my tower, I don't need it to be strong. I'm racing out to find the places where the sun and moon have coffee, when you can't see either one at all. I'm running with my bombs open to what comes my way. I just can't stop, and I don't ever want to try. I broke the skin and found the colors beyond black and white, and I no longer care if you get mad, 'cause I'm chasing down the morning and into the world. Moon and never alone.